Thank you, Erica. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 116. Put your finger there if you would. And you'll notice that the scriptures say a lot of things about the love of God. Notice, if you would, put your finger right there in that passage. We're going to look over to Psalm 103 in a minute, but just stay in 116 for a while. Notice it says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. I want to focus on I love the Lord. Can somebody tell me what the greatest command of Scripture is? I mean, the greatest command in all the Bible. God's greatest desire. Somebody tell me what it is. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, body, mind, and soul. One of the lawyers was picking apart and trying to pick apart what Jesus was saying. And the Lord Jesus, you know, said, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, love the Lord thy God. But if you will notice in Luke, you don't have to turn there, but the Pharisees Jesus Christ got after, he said, look, you've done all these things, but you've passed over the love of God. So it's easy for us to do things and the love of God is not top priority. First in our list, I want to love the Lord. On my prayer list, I want to love the Lord with all my heart. First thing is I praise him. The second thing is I want to love him. I want to say, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. I want to obey him. I want the Lord to know I love him. Now, love is not something you can conjure up, but it's something that you can do if you'll do a few things here. And he says, I love the Lord because I want everybody in this room to learn to love the Lord. Every young person, every adult. Because that's God's greatest command. He made the world, and then he made man so that he could walk with man in the garden with fellowship. And I think the Lord wanted Adam and Eve and their children and their families to all walk with God. Well, we know how that worked out. Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord. Of all the trees in all the garden, and the garden was hundreds of acres, apparently it was just a huge, beautiful sight between the two rivers, just lush. God's put one tree. He said, don't eat of that tree. We couldn't even do that one thing. You know, a lot of times you tell the children, you put 10 toys in the middle of a room and say, now you can play with all these toys, but don't pick up that one. You know what? What do they do? Go right to that one. It's in our nature. And what I want you to understand today is God made us so that we can walk with him in sweet fellowship. That's why he made you. Now, Satan wants to destroy that and get you to despise the Lord. And if you've trusted Christ as Savior, he wants you to not walk with the Lord, to hurt the heart of God. So Satan has a plan and God has a plan. And you and I are in the middle and we're to figure out what we're supposed to do. And the Lord says, I just want you to love me. I've tried to be good to you. Now, I want you to notice a few things about why we should love the Lord. I love the Lord because... Now, maybe you love your husband because he's a good provider. That's a good reason. Not the best reason. And keep in mind, we're talking about priority this morning. Well, I love the Lord, but what number? Number six? Well, I love my wife. She's first. I love my children. They're second. And well, I love the Lord. He's third. Well, I love my job and that's first. There are a lot of men like that. Women too. My career is important to me. The first thing on your list of priorities, I love the Lord. It's at the top of the list. If it's not, we're not right with the Lord. Because he said the first commandment and the greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul. He said, I want you to put everything into it. Now, I remember when the Redskins were still the Redskins. And I remember they used to have these three or four guys. And they were called the Hogs. How many of you remember them? Okay, somebody tell me a few things about them. Somebody tell me. Tell me, come on, quickly, tell me. What's that? He wore a dress. What else? A pig nose. Who in their right mind would wear a pig nose? Somebody loves Redskins. So you can say, oh, those guys are crazy, and they walk around in a dress, and I don't know what a dress has got to do with hogs. Do y'all? I couldn't figure it all out. Maybe it's a little dementia going on. I don't know about those four guys, but I don't know. But anyway, they dressed themselves up, and they wore pig noses, and they were the hogs. And everybody said, oh, there goes the hogs. They became pretty well famous. There go the hogs. You know why? Because they love the Redskins. We don't have to wear pig noses to love Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to get you to understand is all of us have a love that's top of the list. Second, and a third, and a fourth. And the Lord Jesus just simply says, I'd like to be first. That's why I made you. My question for you today is, where is he on your list of priorities? Now you can tell by how much time you spend with him, how much time you talk with him. You can tell, but I want you to notice why we should love him. Well, the Redskins gave the Hogs some reasons to love them because they won a lot. Joe Gibbs was there, and they won a lot of games, and so they were proud to be called Redskins. You know, over time things change, and you know, yet the Lord should never change. He always should be first. Now, notice if you would, in Psalm 116, I want you to see real quickly, I love the Lord because. Now, these are reasons why we should love the Lord. And David is saying, I love the Lord because. Now, I'm going to give you the first one. First off, because he heals our soul. You can be saved. The greatest reason to love him is because he's given you a home in heaven that we don't deserve. And he's washed away your sin. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. I will be saved. So I'm gonna be saved. And that's the number one reason I want to say, Lord, I love you today because you saved me. Lord, you've kept me from a devil's hell. Does anybody here understand just briefly what hell is like? It is a place made for the devil. Matthew 25:41. It's made for the devil and his angels. They disobeyed the Lord and he created the most awful place you could imagine called hell. And he planned for Satan and his angels to go there. He didn't plan for Adam and Eve to go there. He planned for them to obey. But they chose not to. And so God only has two places, heaven and hell. Contrary to a lot of religions, there's only two places, heaven and hell. Only two places God made. And so if you and I look at it and say, well, I would have gone to a devil's hell, fire and brimstone. The Bible says it's got rocks that are so hot and so red that they just glow. If you were to spit on them, your spit would just evaporate instantly and just turn to steam. It's a bottomless pit. You're always falling. If you've ever ridden on a roller coaster and you go click, 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 get up the top, click, 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 and your stomach comes up in your throat. Well, can you imagine that for eternity? The Bible says it's pitch black. It's dark. You can never see anybody. You can hear the screams of hell, but you can't see anybody. It's a horrible place. The Bible says you have a memory. Luke 16, he talks about, 17, 11, he talks about that there's a memory. The rich man in hell lifted up his eyes. Son, remember. That thou in thy lifetime, what did you remember? He'd remember sitting in a service like this and saying, I'm not going to get saved today, maybe next week. You remember lost chances. My mother used to work for Bell Telephone, Southern Bell. She was one of the original ladies that did the plugging and pushing and all that kind of stuff. And she said, they offered me stock, but I didn't understand what stock was. And so I said, I don't want any stock, I want the cash. And so, you know, I said, Mom. She said, yeah, I'd be worth millions if I'd have just taken the stock. Opportunity lost. But guess what? She didn't think much about it after that. Money didn't mean much to her. But hell, you never get over. And Jesus Christ said, I don't want Scott and Christina. I don't want Rick and Joel to die and go to hell. I'm going to make a way for them to go to heaven. I'm going to pay their debt myself. I'll heal their souls if they just ask me. I'll pay for it. It'll be free. It'll be a gift from me. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so if for no other reason, you and I ought to love him first of all because he's given us the gift of heaven. And I could spend days talking to you about heaven, but the idea that, you know, you walk into heaven and you never have another hurt or a pain. You get a brand new body. Your body works. It's a gift from God. You can remember everything, see everything. You've got the stars and all the galaxies to go to that the Lord Jesus grants you and I privilege to do whatever we would like to do in many of those ways. But whenever you and I look over into hell, there's one thing we're going to be doing. The Lord's going to have to say, okay, you don't have to stay at my feet forever thanking me. I want you to enjoy heaven. There's no church in heaven. Jesus is the light. There are no lights in heaven. There's no power company in heaven. There's no trash company in heaven. There's no trash. It's perfect. You and I step foot inside heaven and say, oh, Lord, I should have put you first above all else because of what you gave to me. You healed my soul and gave me heaven. And if you're here today, and the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son have not healed your soul. You've never been saved. And you don't understand what I'm saying. Come to me after the service. I'll help you get it settled. It's the greatest gift in the world. And it lasts forever. Number one, I love the Lord because he healed my soul. Lord, I want to put you first. I want to love you back. Lord, I want to love you. Notice number two, quickly. The psalmist loved the Lord because he helped him. Look at verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. And the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. You know, for you and I to have someone, you're never alone. You always have help. Whenever you and I are struggling with direction, when we're struggling with decisions, and Lord, I need your help. Would you help me? Maybe we're struggling like a Fifi this morning with her health and she's in the hospital. Lord, I need your help. And the Lord says, okay, I'll help. He is our help. He is the one that comes to our aid when we have difficulties and trouble. I remember there was a gentleman that was down a lonely road. Jeremy and Brandon went to school with the daughter and somebody was down at the end of a long road, about a mile long road, and they had a beautiful home there. And some armed men came in and began to rob the place. And he saw them and they shot him. And he was in his bedroom laying on the floor. And they thought he was dead. And he heard them leave and he couldn't move. And Lord, I need your help. And he saw an old phone under the bed. He crawled, and he told me this himself. He crawled underneath the bed and said, Lord, could you let this phone work? Now, that was in the days the phone had to be plugged in. He crawled underneath there. He's bleeding. Hello? 911. Hello? How may we help you? Oh, my address, I've been shot. And I saw him at his daughter's birthday party walking around with a cane. It crippled him for life. But he said, I needed the help of God at a point in my life when no one else could. The phone worked. It shouldn't have. It didn't work. We didn't use the phone. I don't know how it worked, but it worked. Many a time, God helps you and I. And so you and I may not realize it, but if we go back to that time, he doesn't remember that phone. He doesn't ever forget that phone working. He remembers in his mind, he gets up, Lord, thank you for your help. Lord, thank you for your help. It's a little easier to fall in love with the Lord because he's such a help to us. And your children get sick and he steps in and helps your children and he answers your prayers. He's a help. You know, I'm reminded we should love the Lord. Now, keep in mind, I don't know where your love for God is on the list. Is it fifth? Is it seventh? Is it tenth? Have you really not thought much about loving the Lord? Now, before we go any further, I want to define for you the love of God. Take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, back in the back of your Bible, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. 1 John, notice with me if you would, when I say I'm going to define it, I'm not going to define it, let the Lord define it. Notice if you would, 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In other words, you love the Lord when you tell the truth and you enjoy it. It's not grievous. When you love your wife, because the Bible says the husbands love your wife, and it's not grievous. Children, you obey your parents because the Lord asks you to do that. It's not grievous. Grievous, it doesn't grind on you. It doesn't make you have to work at it. Now listen to me. All of us have to work from time to time to obey anything. You're supposed to be at work on time. We have a rule at the church and school. We always have a prayer meeting for 3 minutes at 7:45. Two reasons. You may know what those two reasons are. Number one, we want the Lord to bless our day. We want to start off with a good thought. But number two, make sure everybody's there. Last thing I want, be able to have a class, you go in, nobody's there. The teacher got sick, was in a car accident, phone didn't work. Want to make sure everybody's there. So again, it's one of the guidelines. Well, got to go to prayer meeting again this morning. They probably don't love the job as much as they ought. I got to go to work this morning. You probably don't love the job as much as you ought. My wife wants me to do whatever. I guess I will. You probably ought to get on your knees and say, Lord, help me love my wife more. My husband doesn't want me to spend any money. I probably ought to. Okay. You probably ought to say, Lord, help me to love my husband more. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. There's a joy to them. Now let me ask you a question. Now how much do you love the Lord? You come to church this morning? Was it a little bit of work? Lord, I need to love you a little bit more. Didn't read your Bible this morning? Oh, I missed it this morning, but we're at church, so I don't expect to have to read it because pastor's going to read it. You probably ought to say, Lord, help me to love you more. Notice with me, if you would, when sorrows come, and death in the family, you need the help of the Lord. You need him to come in and encourage your heart. And he'll do that if you'll ask him. But if you really love the Lord, you'll rely upon him and say, Lord, I need you. The first person you go to is, Lord, I need you. It's not, all my kids will be around, my family will be around, so I don't have to worry about being lonely and disappointed until they leave, so I've got a little bit of time. Yes, it's nothing wrong with us depending upon our family. But the first person, the number one person that we ought to rely upon and we ought to love with all of our heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. And without that, we cannot do everything we ought to do with joy. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments and they're not grievous. Today, this is sermon number 4097 that I've preached from this pulpit. I want you to understand something. Do you think all of them, I got up in the morning and said, man, I get to preach today. It's supposed to be that way. But sometimes I have to get up in the morning because I don't feel that well. I didn't get a good night's sleep. I said, Lord, I need your strength this morning because I want to do a good job for you. But Lord, I'm running on fumes. Anybody ever gone to work running on fumes? Anybody other than me? Okay, I need the Lord. But Lord, this is different. Lord, this is your work. I cannot come up here and give an account for number 4021. Well, Dave, you didn't really put your heart into that one. Lord, I am so sorry. Lord, I want you to know that I love you and I enjoy talking about you. Lord, I want people to know that I love you. I want them to love you. Lord, help me. And so you and I need the help of the Lord to do anything God's called us to do. Especially me, especially a Sunday school teacher, especially Brother Brandon up here. I don't know what he's flailing his arms for. I don't know what all that means, but he's doing all this. He wants this people to sing right, but his heart's got to be in it. If you've ever heard, if you've ever been to state competition and seen Jonathan Mancheski, now he's here today, I'll probably embarrass him, but Jonathan's all in it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's like... That's close. You know what? I don't mind. You know why? Because he wants them to do their best. And I don't care if I got to wear a pink nose. Everybody know I love the Lord. But I don't. What I'm trying to get you to understand is take the love of God off the bottom shelf and put it on the top and say, Lord, help me to love you more. Help me to realize that you've done things for me that no one else can do. And I'm sorry when I take advantage of it. I love the Lord because he heals my soul. He helps me. But notice next one, because he heaps benefits upon me. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 103. I told you we'd go there. Look at Psalm 103. It's sort of a sister passage. David had a lot of things happen in his life, and he recognized the word benefit. Notice if you would. Take your Bible, Psalm 103. Notice this, if you would, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Notice. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. One of the ways you can learn to love the Lord, it'll help you if you don't forget his benefits. Now, notice his benefits. For forgiveth, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now, he's forgiven you of your sin. You're on your way to heaven. But whenever you and I have been saved and we've done something to disappoint him, isn't it wonderful we can go to him? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's written to his children. It'd be a terrible thing to be forgiven of all of our sins, but never be able to make things right that we do after we've gotten saved. It doesn't save us. It just restores fellowship. Your brother and sister here today. How many of you got a brother and sister? Raise your hand. Brothers, sisters, okay? If you and your brother or your sister or your brothers, sisters have a little disagreement, has that ever happened? Okay. You're still brother and sister. But how do you get it sweet again? Somebody's got to go and say, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have taken your new dress and worn it before you. Please forgive me. I shouldn't have taken your baseball and played with it. I remember, you know, I loved football, and every Christmas my parents got me an NFL Duke football. At that time they were like $50. Now they're 120, I think it is. But I love those footballs, and it's a real one, and it was just like the pros played with, so you got the right feel to it. And we go out there and play, and I'll never forget, I got a brand new football, and I said, okay, now, hey, can we go out and play football with your ball? Yeah, but keep it off the asphalt. Hey, just be careful with it. And sure enough, some guy throws it like that, and it goes bounce, 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 and scuffs up the end of it. Why can't you throw in the right direction? Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Will you forgive me? It makes it right. What would life be like if you could never make anything right with him? if he held everything you did and just kept piling up? And you couldn't get it out of your heart. You'd be miserable. One of his benefits, he says, listen to this, and listen very carefully. Every time, morning, noon, or night, every time you've done something, had the wrong thought, the wrong attitude, said something, every time you come to me and say, oh, Lord, I am sorry, will you forgive me? Gone. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I put your sins behind my back. Gone. The second you mention it. And there's never a time he looks at us and says, well, you just apologized for that 10 minutes ago. It's always gone. What is that worth? Lord, that's a benefit I can't live without. You heap your benefits on me. Thank you. Notice the next one. Who healeth all thy diseases. If you ever get healed from a disease, he did it. Oh, sometimes he may use a doctor that's had a lot of training, but he allows him to make a good diagnosis. But then he allows him to make a good recommendation on prescriptions. Anybody ever got a prescription that didn't work or did the wrong thing? You know what? You need the Lord's benefit to heal you of your diseases. There's 15 people on my cancer list that I pray for every day. Lord, don't ever let them get cancer again. Lord, protect them. Put a hedge about them. And he's doing that. I'm amazed. Lord, please keep it up. Please, dear Lord. That's one of the benefits. Notice, it's a benefit of having him hear my prayers. It's a benefit. Notice what he says. Look in verse number five. And I like this. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. You know what he's saying? How many of you get to eat good things today? That's his benefit to you. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. I don't know that we think about what we eat as a benefit of God. But if we really think of all the benefits that God's given to us, we would pause and say, Lord, how do I say thank you? One way. Take your love for me off the bottom shelf, off the third shelf, put it on the top shelf, and everything you see, you do it with joy. Lord, I don't know all the things you want me to do, but I'll put my heart into it, body, soul, and spirit, because I love you. I know there are people that love things. The Hogs, the Redskins. There are different people in different sports. They love their team. They're willing to look bad for their team to have their support. I'm wondering if you and I are willing to love the Lord so much that we're willing to tell the truth when nobody else at work does. We're willing to be proud of our mate at work and talk good about them because you love them. You're proud of them. You talk good about the Lord. I'm thankful to be a Christian. What? I was on the plane and there was a gentleman sitting beside me and I offered track to him. Yeah, I know about that. Very gruff. Didn't want to talk anymore. I could just tell. Wow. Distant. But I've sat on planes before with people and I sit down with them and I say, could I show you this? And I sit down and show it to them. I say, you know, the Lord really loves you. And they say, really? I'd like to know more about that. And I said, and I got to lead them to Christ sitting on the plane. And when they got off the plane, they said, hey, thank you. I'll never forget this. I've been needing this. But you know what? I find unless I really love the Lord, I'm not going to speak up for him. I'm not going to treat Scott right all the time. I'm not going to treat Brandon right all the time. I'm not going to treat you right all the time or make it right. Well, Milbert, I'm sorry I did such and such. Would you forgive me? Sure, Pastor. Why? Well, the Holy Spirit touched my heart. I just want you to know I'm sorry. Do you understand today the benefits of God healing our soul, helping us when we're in need, heaping benefits on all of us, ought to make us say, Lord, I want to please you, and it will be a joy. I remember Jeremy's born. Now, Jonathan's starting to go through this, Jonathan Mancheski. I love Jeremy. But you know, when you got to change your first diaper, your love is challenged. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Anybody here other than me? I mean, guys, maybe a wife, she's no problem at all. But, you know, you have to change the diaper and it's a blowout and you're really in trouble. Hey, why did everybody laugh? How did you know what I meant? You know what? I love you, son. I'll take care of it. We can do an awful lot of things that are really challenging with joy if we love him. Today, what number do you love the Lord? First, that's what he asked for, and he'll bless you. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I love the Lord because I want to remind you today, maybe your love has slipped a little bit. Maybe you loved the Lord a lot earlier in your life. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and say, Lord, help me to love you more. Now, we could all do that, but maybe the Holy Spirit's touched your heart. I want to encourage you to do what the Lord wants you to do today. Leave this building this morning knowing and purposing in your heart, Lord, I want to love you the most. Lord, I want to love you more than anything else in this life. I know the Pharisees, they passed over the love of God to give tithes and offerings, to do things. I want to give you my heart because I love you. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. If you need to come this morning, would you come and say, Lord Jesus, help me to love you more. That may mean to love your mate more. That may mean to love your parents more. It may mean to love a brother or sister more. It may mean to love the Lord's house more, to love his word more. Whatever the Holy Spirit touches your heart about, would you do it this morning? Put the love of God on the top shelf in your life. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts today. If there's anybody here that's never trusted you as Savior, help them to come. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, if you would, please. Page 639, turn your eyes upon Jesus. If you need to come this morning, first verse, will not play long. If you love the Lord because, let's sing together. Notice the words.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled?
I want to love you more.
In the darkness you see, there's light for a look at
Lord, I try to obey you, but I want it to be a joy. I don't want it to be grievous
and
anymore.
Life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim.
All the things of this life lose value. And he becomes first. Last verse, if you need to come, this is it. Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? If not, come this morning. We'll get it settled.
He passed and we followed him there. Over us he no more had dominion. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
You know, one of the great blessings of being a Christian is the Lord promises to hear us. What a benefit that is. that the God of heaven hears you when you call out to him. What a benefit. Today, would you take advantage? And this week, Passion Week, coming up to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look, let's spend a little extra time with him. We owe him, but he doesn't want us to feel like it. He wants us to love him. Father, would you speak to our hearts today, tonight, this week? Lord, help us to draw up close to you. Help us to take our love for you off the third shelf, the fifth shelf, the tenth shelf, and put it at the top. Lord, give us traveling mercies today. Bless our guests. In your name we pray. Amen. Dismissed guests, please stop by the Welcome Center on the way out. I got something for you. It's a memento from our church.